Welcome back to episode 99 of Chess Journeys, Tales of Adult Improvement. Here on Chess Journeys, we don't just like to highlight the rating gains and the glory, which is great, but we also dive into the plateaus and perhaps even below that, the pits of despair. If you want to support the show, you can go to Chess Journeys Patreon, and I want to thank the following people there. Matt Bush, Jay Garrison, Donna Rich Burgess, Brandon Hallside, David Shriver, Lindsay Newhall, and Jeff Peterson. You can get merch on the merch store. I'm going to pick up the blue mug. It looks cool. I'm going to go for it and surprise my daughter. She'll be so excited. She thinks somehow she's getting a cut for these. She's not. She doesn't get anything. So, you know, sorry to be her, I guess. I've been streaming a lot on Dr. Skull _ Tiny Grimes, putting some of those up on YouTube. And if you want to appear on the show, fill out the Google form in the show notes. It's a great way to let me know you're interested. And if you're interested in Noel Studer's next level training program, he was on a few times ago. You should definitely use the code in the show notes. It supports the show. You win. I win. We all get better at chess. We all win. Okay. Now it's time to bring on our guest of the day. We have Hannah. She is a recent adult improver. And Hannah, how are you doing? And have you played any chess yet today?
Ooh, yes. I played one chess game online and I lost. And so I decided to take the L and stop for the day, but I have done some puzzles. So
you're not one of those people who will just like play 1,000 games until you win one and tilt and rage and break all the stuff in your house?
So I actually do have a really embarrassing but funny story that I am going to share on this podcast, I've decided. On Friday, because I am that person, to be clear. But so on Friday, I actually lost. I don't even know. It wasn't like a particularly eventful game. I just kind of lost. I blundered and lost, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And so I smashed my phone and I broke it.
Oh no.
And I had to go get a new one. Yeah. So I have this brand new phone because of an online chess game. I like smashed it. It like hit the corner of a wall and it just like the screen obliterated. And I went straight to the phone store and he was like, "Wow, how did you even do this?" And I told him, I was just like, "Yeah, I played chess online and I smashed it when I was." So I'm trying to be better now and not do that again because I don't have the upgrade. Because I actually didn't really have to pay that much money. I think it's going to be an extra $8 a month. And I got the newest iPhone because I had some upgrade deal or something. I don't have that anymore, so I can't break another phone because of chess.
So what I'm hearing is raging is great. You get phone upgrades. That's what I'm hearing from this story.
Everyone should do it.
Also, people say like, "Oh, chess isn't that expensive. You get a chess set and you play." It is if you're Hannah and you break all your phones. You got to start playing on a burner phone.
I broke one phone because of chess, so I'm trying to keep it at the one.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully it'll stay at the one. All right, Hannah, I'd like to ask this question of most of my guests, but when did you start playing chess? Did you play at all as a child? Were you like a young prodigy who was gonna, you know, become the world champion someday? What's your story?
I wish. No, so I actually, I started at the very end of 2021. I'm kind of another Queen's Gambit person. I was dating a dude. And it was kind of like we still weren't really going out and doing stuff. So he wanted me to learn how to play chess. And I was just not interested at all. I was like, this is a game for boring old men. I don't want to learn this. And before that, I don't think I'd played a single chess game in my entire life. Didn't know how the pieces move, like nothing. And so then he convinced me to watch Queen's Gambit. And he thought that I would think chess was cool if I watched Queen's Gambit. And he was right. It totally worked. Ooh. And so then I learned how to play. But even then, so this was like September 2021. And even then, we were playing like a couple games at least. And then it actually started to decrease because I think he kind of did the thing where he taught me something and then he regretted it because I liked it a little bit too much. And because I wanted to play all the time. And he wanted like one game per week. And so we broke up and I kind of went to just asking everyone in my life if they played chess. And I played my brother and I beat him immediately. And then I played my dad, and I pretty much beat him up immediately. And my uncle, and I was pretty much out of people out of after that. And so I just took to Google, as one does, and I found my local chess club and showed up there in December of 2021. So I guess at that point I'd been playing for like 3 months, which I've been told is pretty bold to just show up to the chess club.
I call
No
it pretty amazing.
experience.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, I don't think I figured out what en passant was and when to do it until like August of last year. Like I was
Yeah.
very new.
That's awesome. Let's stop here for a second because I have a couple of questions. Question one, did you break up with your boyfriend because he wouldn't play chess with you enough?
No, but I did finally beat him when we broke up.
Yes.
And if anything, I kind of stayed in contact with him afterwards for a little bit just because I still wanted to have someone to play chess with. And then he cut me off because he just like didn't want to be friends, you know. And I was the one who broke up with him, so it was kind of like it made sense. Like I shouldn't still try to hang out with him just to play chess. That's kind of mean.
Okay, that's amazing. But you did get to
Yeah.
beat him before ended.
I did finally beat him a couple of times, actually. And in hindsight, like he was probably also pretty amateur. At the time, I thought he was like amazing, but he was probably like, I don't know, 1,000 or something. But I did finally beat him and it felt very good. And we broke up like 2 days later.
So before venturing out into the chess world, did you have any thoughts of like, hey, I can beat pretty much everyone? Like, I'm gonna show up to the club and be pretty good, or were you like
No,
still worried?
I was pretty prepared for the fact that like, because my uncle, I think he used to play like way long ago and used to play, I think he was in his chess club or something. And so he was like, Hannah, you're gonna go and you're gonna lose. And it's gonna be kind of like you have to just accept that these are nerds. And even then it still kind of hurt. Mostly it kind of just felt bad, but I was really scared to go because I was like, oh, you know, I knew it was gonna be mostly men, and I was like, they're all gonna be really mean and they're gonna be really condescending because I don't know anything and I'm just fitting their idea of women who don't know how to play chess. And that's what I thought I was gonna get. And then I actually, the first dude I played was super nice. Everyone was honestly just really excited that I was there,
Nice.
and they're such nerds that they were just excited to have a person to teach things to, I think. Because in general, going to a chess club, you're just going to get beat up the whole time because there's always going to be that one dude who's been playing since he was two. So I think they were just excited to have someone to teach. Dare I say, maybe they saw some potential, and I can actually beat most of them now. So
Nice.
it worked out, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such a great lesson to all of us who go to chess clubs is when the new person comes, be nice to them. That's what brings them back. If you're a rude jerk to them and showing off how great you are, that will be the one time you see them. So bring them
Well,
in.
it was a good balance because generally, I don't know how all clubs are, but at our club, like we won't like let people win just because they're new. You know what I mean? So it's like I still got beat up and people didn't go easy on me at all. And you know, they all did the like fool's me just because like how often do you get to do that against someone? And so, but they were still very nice. And then after I would get beat up, they would be like, well, this is what you did, and this is how you play so that you don't get the fool's mate again and you never fall for that ever again. So it was still educational and they were still really nice about it, but they didn't like pretend to not know good moves or something. Like they didn't let me win ever, which I actually really appreciate.
So they were bringing it, but they were being
Yeah.
kind about it and even helping you afterwards.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right to me. Can I do one more turn back to time question? What
Sure.
was it about Queen's Gambit that made you think like, "Huh, I want to play this?" Because my mom saw it and she did not want to play it. My wife has seen it and she's like, "I still don't want to play chess." What was it about that that made you be like, "I want to play chess?"
Really, no, honestly, a lot of it was just realizing how much deeper the game is than I realized. Just like all the like, oh, you just look at this one game and look at all the different lines and how things could have gone. Like, I just thought it was way more simple, I guess, which doesn't matter. Like, I was like, oh, it's just like checkers, but like the pieces move differently pretty much. But I guess just realizing how much depth and realizing that, like, this is a forever learning thing. You're never gonna master it. You're never gonna know everything there is to know. There's always, you can always be better, and there's always interesting stuff to look at. And so I think that was kind of what drew me in. And just actually, like, watching the first couple episodes and just getting like that one first game where I actually understood everything and just it just kind of clicked.
Nice. Yeah, I that resonates with me as well, the whole forever learning thing. Like, there's no pressure to be the best in the world at this game. That's not gonna happen, right? It's like
Yeah.
I'm on my own journey, doing my own thing, trying to get better, and it's a little depressing, but it's also quite freeing. So
Yeah, I thought it's surprisingly not as overwhelming as I thought it would be once I realized, because part like a lot of other stuff, it's like, oh, there's so much to learn. I just feel like, why even bother? But I think this is like fun enough where it doesn't overwhelm me knowing that there are endless things that I could be learning and doing. It's just kind of like, well, cool. I'll have something to occupy myself with forever, maybe.
yeah, okay, cool. So we definitely resonate on that one. Maybe we'll both be playing for the next 50 years and be slightly better,
I
or
hope
maybe
so.
even
I
better.
do get scared of the people who talk about, like, I know I'm gonna hit a cap eventually, and so I do fear that day because I feel like the good thing about being as new as I am is that I'm still improving pretty quickly. And I know that that's gonna stop one day and it's gonna hurt a little bit, but I'm not there yet, so woo.
Yeah, that's the most fun part of the journey. I went from 1,000 to like 1,700 in a year and a half, and it was amazing. I was like, I don't understand. How come you guys aren't getting better at the same rate that I am? This game is easy. Then it stopped.
Yeah.
Well. All right. Well, let's talk about your journey then so far. So you started going to a club. When you started going to that club, did that motivate you to do more than play? Did you start playing online? Were there any resources you were looking at to try to get better? Or were you just like, I'm just having fun playing chess?
Yeah, it was kind of a gradual thing. So I do remember I first went to the club and they, one of the first things they asked me was if I played online. And I was like, yeah, I do. They're like, oh, WeChess or chess.com. And I pulled up some like random other chess app that no one plays on. They're like, what is this? Like,
That's
delete this right
awesome.
now. I don't even think it had ratings. It was like a weird, I don't even know how I found it.
You're
But
yellow. Congratulations.
so yeah, so the first step was downloading the actual apps that people use. And then I still didn't really, I still don't really play online like that much, first of all, because it makes me too mad,
Yeah.
clearly. But I also just, there's just, I think maybe just because I learned over the board, it's just kind of what I prefer. But so at first I went and I was kind of like, I'm gonna lose every game, so I'm just gonna kind of play for fun. I'm not gonna get too invested in it because I know I'm gonna lose anyways, so like there's no point, which isn't the best mindset, but like I wasn't doing puzzles or nothing for a little bit. But then just through playing as much as I was, because we meet like 3 times a week, sometimes four, but then I also just hit people up from the club all the time. So especially in the beginning, I was literally hitting people up to play chess every single day, pretty much over the board.
Oh,
And
wow.
so, yeah, I do. One of the things I love about my club is that it's insanely active. And so I got better kind of naturally just from playing all the time. And I got my first like big win against someone who was pretty experienced. And that kind of made me want to try a little harder than not at all. So that was when I actually have one right here, the Susan Polgar Learn Chess the Right Way, these bad
Cool.
boys.
Yeah.
And I got recommended that in a YouTube video. And I think they're technically for kids, but I was like, well, I'm a chess kid if you think about
Yeah.
it. So I'll do them anyways.
We're all
And I
chess kids.
exactly. And so I started doing those just to get the like concepts more, because a lot of them I kind of already encountered, but I just didn't, I'd never had it explained to me in like a book. And so then I kind of started getting the like baseline knowledge that way. And now I have like three books that I'm reading right now, and that's
Nice.
pretty much it though. I don't have like a coach or anything. I haven't gone that far yet, but
Okay.
I'm sure once I hit like a point where I'm not improving anymore, I will.
Yeah, I think that's such a great idea, right? If you're already improving on your own, why do you need a coach to come in and be like, you could improve even more this way? Just go about it on your own. And then when you hit that plateau, it's when you're like, okay, now I need a change. A great way to see what change I need to make is to talk to an expert.
Yeah, because I still don't have the most structured study routine. It's basically just if I feel like doing puzzles, I'll do some puzzles in my little book, and that's about it. My friend Sam has been trying to get me to analyze my games more, especially because I'm competing in tournaments and then I'm like not analyzing the games. It's like, why are you paying to compete in tournaments if you're not analyzing your games? But, I don't know. That's very intimidating to me for some reason, but that's
Interesting.
probably like the next step.
Okay. That's a, such an interesting journey of chess improvement is to not analyze your games. I have not had any guests be like, the way to do chess improvement is to play tournaments and not analyze your games and then get better like I have. No one suggested that yet.
I don't recommend it. It's just what I've been doing.
Okay, all right. when you talk about playing games at the club, I'm curious, are these rated games? What kind of time controls are you guys using? How are you guys going about this?
Okay, so for the most part, they're not. We actually recently started doing rated tournaments, but for the most part, they're unrated. And it's usually blitz, either 5-2 or 3-2,
Oh,
just
wow.
because a lot of the time we'll have so many people there that it's like you want to play everyone. So you just like,
Yeah.
yeah. We've had more people doing like rapid recently, though, like 10-minute games. But yeah, it's mostly 5-2 and 3-2. And then we have a rapid tournament coming up, I think in August, but I'm helping organize that, so I'm not going to play in it. So I think most of my club stuff, that's rated, I'm probably not actually going to play in it because I'm going to be like doing all the behind the scenes stuff. But
Gotcha.
yeah.
That's so interesting that you're like, I'm new to chess, and it's like, here, play 3-2 games with me. Like, that is
Oh
really
my gosh. There's
odd.
this one guy in the club who is just a religious 3-2 player.
Okay.
And it's, yeah, I used, and it, I think it's kind of stunted me a little because he was the one that I played with the most when I first came to the club. And so I was just playing 3-2 all the time. But that's not, and at the time, it was just so fun and exciting that I just kept doing it and I didn't know any better. But the more I'm learning, the more I'm like, no, blitz isn't really, I mean, it's fun, but it's not really how you get better. And I mean, though, like 3-2, that's not even worth analyzing or thinking about because you're just not thinking about your moves. So I, as if 5-2 is like that much slower, but viz.
It is quite a bit.
Significant enough to me. But I eventually just kind of, I don't know, I think some of it too was just I realized I wasn't getting better and I couldn't figure out why. And everyone was like, well, you're only playing 3-2 and you're not doing anything else. That's why you're not getting better. And I have this problem where I'm too impulsive with my moves a lot of the time, which
Sure.
is probably because I started off playing mostly 3-2, which you just have to like blindly move and not run
Yeah.
out of time. So.
Okay. Yeah. 'Cause like I have serious rating decline the faster it goes. It's like rapid on chess.com. I'm like 1800 blitz. I'm like right around 1500, but I call blitz 5-5. And then I play 3-2 on Lee Chess. And that's only like 1650, which is like 1300 or something. So it's like this steep
Yeah.
decline. And I imagine if I'd played bullet, it'd be like 400. So I don't know.
Ever actually played bullet like in my entire life? I know a lot of people. I know this one dude in my club, he was telling me, he was like, yeah, I either play classical or bullet and nothing else.
Wow.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I've heard some people say like I play bullet just to work on openings and then classical otherwise, but I'm like, okay, there's middle games too I like to work on. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I have played one bullet game in my life on the free internet chess server like 25 years ago. I won it. So I am actually rated 2000 in bullet in the one bullet game I've ever played in my life. So I'm just going to say that I'm 2000 in bullets. It's a rare
Yeah,
thing.
you just never have to play again. You're good.
Yep. And I will never play again. I am undefeated. this is gonna start calling myself world champion, actually. Bullet world champion. Okay, so you're going through Polgar's books. You said you were doing a tactics book. Is that the Polgar book, or do you have a separate book for tactics?
Okay, yes, I'm going through. So the series that I mentioned earlier is mostly like tactics, so she'll break it up. So like the one I'm in right now is a chapter on the Zugzwang,
Ooh,
and
okay.
so it's just all tactics specifically about where you're looking for that. And so she did it for like forks, pins, just everything. And then at the end of the last book, which is the one I'm in, it's just like the grand test is what she calls it. And it's just like, here's a puzzle. I'm not going to tell you if it's mate or like a pin or anything. You just have to like figure out what I'm wanting you to do. And so that's like the next little part that I'm coming up on. But then other than that, I'm doing that big, the 5,334 puzzle, that book that everyone does.
Yeah.
I think I'm in like the 400s at this point, but I just got that book like a few months ago.
Okay.
And then I'm also doing the Jeremy Silman's Endgame course book as well,
Yeah.
because my endgames are so bad. I get roasted at the club all the time because I would not know how to do. I did up until very recently, like literally within the last month, I didn't properly know how to do a mate with a rook and a king versus a king. Like
Yeah.
I could never fit because I'd never read anything about it.
Right. Yep.
And so stuff like that. I'm also working on that book as well. And then I'm also reading How to Reassess Your Chess, which is technically a little bit above my rating because I'm like 1300 on chess.com and they said you shouldn't read it until you're like 1400, but I'm like, well, I'm gonna read it anyway. Like,
Yeah.
I don't
Okay.
know.
That's fair.
I honestly added it to my cart when I got the other end of game book and I didn't realize that it was like technically I'm not there yet, but I was like, well, it's close enough. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I think you could start reading about this. So if Silman and Polgar got together to co-author a book, would you buy like 8 copies of
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean the Silman book is so good for, because it breaks up those chapters. And I got a harsh reminder yesterday. I was playing a blitz game and it was clearly a draw, and I just moved my king. And then I lost, and I was like, "You're kidding me!" I had forgot it was like a diagonal opposition, and I just stopped thinking entirely and just went, "Sure, I'll move my king here." And then, like 20 moves later, he had eaten all my pawns, and I lost. And I was like, "What?" So, yep.
Yeah, people would say that to me in the club all the time. They'd be like, you just need to gain opposition. And I was like, you know what? I hear you. I still don't quite understand what you mean. I'm not gonna lie.
Yep.
But now I'm starting to actually get it because I read like three chapters of that Silman book, so.
Nice. Yeah. That's what, and going back over it helps too. For some reason, distant opposition, it took me like five different authors before Silman finally explained it in a way in where I was like, ah, I get it now.
I literally just got yesterday. I finally just got the like, I think it was the queen and king. My friend was explaining it to like a beginner. And people always say, like, oh, you just do the box. Like, and I was like, what do you mean the box? And then all it took was he took his hands and he like was tilting it. And I was like, oh my God, I get it. And I don't know why I needed him to like do the hands thing, but that was it, just clicked. Even though I've read about it like four times at this point.
Yeah, sometimes it just needs that exact perfect way for your learning style. So there we go.
Yeah.
That's, you need to find a YouTube video that's called like learning chess through hand movements. Maybe there's a whole channel dedicated to this.
And then I'll be a GM next year. Let's go.
Actually, for IM, GM seems a little bit ambitious. Okay, so when you started, let's just get a feel for it. You had quite a bit of progress. When you started, where were you at, and where are you at now in whatever rating you want to talk about?
I guess realistically, I probably play more on chess.com. I think when I started, I never quite like I definitely by the time I was playing online, I think my lowest ever rating was like 900 or 800 or something.
Okay.
Maybe 700. And then now, but then I still wasn't like really trying. But over the past few months, I've been like actually grinding because I was just like, God, want to get out of this 1100, 1200 range. I just feel so stuck in there. And so that took like 2 or 3 months or something to get. I just broke 1300 like a couple weeks ago. It's a big deal for me.
That is a big deal. I feel like when you get into that range, you're quite a good chess player, and then you just have moments where you blunder and lose, and it's so frustrating because you're like, no, I'm a pretty good chess player. That one moment should not have cost the game. Let's just throw that out and then look at the rest of it. I'm awesome.
Yeah, and my one friend did tell me, she was basically just like, yeah, like you're, it's not that, like you'll get to like 14, 1500, and it'll pretty much only be up to you blundering less. Like it's not even like the knowledge isn't there. It's just like, will you take your time and not be impulsive like I can be and just stop making as many, like it's not even what I'm not doing, it's what I need to stop doing, if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
it does. Because I have the same problem with like 3-2. It's not like I've forgotten how to play positional chess. What happens is I hang a knight. And then I'm like, ah, didn't hang that knight. There we go. The computer's very clear. Don't hang your knight. It's a bad idea.
Well, one of the big things I'm also trying to get better with, and I think I've gotten better with, is like not giving up just because I hang a piece. Like I had, so we did a backyard like tournament with the chickens yesterday, and that's like unrated, it's just like for fun. And so in my first group, I was playing like one of the like higher seeded players. And I hung my queen immediately, as one does. But then I ended up winning that game. I won. And that dude is way better than me. He was like shook when he lost that game because I hung my queen. It was like before move 10. It was so early. Or no, I lied. I think it was like the middle game actually. But then I don't even remember what happened, but he ended up hanging his queen, and then I ended up winning with like checkmate. And I was like, I cannot believe I just won this game right now.
Yeah, it can be hard when you're up that much material to like stay super focused, right? You kind of drift a bit. And as long as you can stay focused, that's my challenge, is like I hang a big piece and I know my opponent's starting to drift, but so am I because I'm so frustrated with myself that I hung that piece. But you can just hang there, you can make something happen. Well, my daughter likes to say, in life, sometimes you hang your queen.
You
That's her
do.
saying. Doesn't
I
hang her queen
actually had
much.
another game recently with one of the better players in our club, and I got his queen because I like pinned his queen to his bishop and his
Nice.
king, like that thing. But then I hung my queen and I ended up losing. And I was like, bro, I cannot believe I just lost this game where I was up a queen.
Yeah, that is tough. We played a very interesting tournament this weekend, down in Santa Monica, like down on the promenade. They're having this big chess thing, and it was an unrated fun tournament. And they put us in different sections, and we get there, and they're like, "Oh, by the way, it's a knockout tournament." And I was like, "Wait, what? Just randomly as a knockout tournament?" And my 8-year-old is like, "So if I lose, the tournament is over?" Well, I was like, yep. So my 8-year-old lost the first round for her division. I won the second round, but she was kind of bored. So I had to play the whole second round with her sitting on my lap and like making a ruckus. And I was like, this is very distracting. I hope my opponent's not getting angry. So it was something else. It was something else.
That
So
sounds fun, though.
surprise knockout tournaments are surprising. Okay.
Can't
So you've
wait.
gone from like 800 to 1300 in a pretty short amount of time. What's the secret sauce here? If I'm guessing, it sounds like playing, doing tactics, working on the Polgar books, and working a little bit on endgames. Does that summarize it? Are there other things in here?
Much. I will say, like, I feel like I have, and there are even people in my club who do this where they study openings too early. I know like so many people who are studying openings who are my level or worse. And everyone around me is like, no, don't study openings. You're not there yet. Just do tactics and more tactics and then even more tactics.
And then when you're done with that, more tactics.
I would also recommend throwing away your social life unless it's chess related.
Ooh, I
That's a
like
pretty
that.
good.
Yeah. And force your children to play chess.
Oh yes. But yeah, that's like I probably play over the board chess at least 4 nights a week. Sometimes it's more. And like Saturday, like my Saturday afternoon, pretty much every Saturday is like 12 p.m. to like 11 p.m. I'm just playing chess all day in various locations, like every Saturday. And
Wow.
like it just never gets old. I don't know.
Okay, and this is all in
Because
person,
we have like
right?
a meetup in an art museum, and that's like I okay, because it's one. So it's like 1 to 5, because then the museum closes, and then we're like, well, now we gotta go somewhere else. So then we like go to a bar and we'll play more chess. And it's usually not like that late. But like tonight I have a meetup, and so I'll get there at like 7, and then I'll probably be there until midnight, just
Wow.
playing chess the whole time.
Sounds
So
amazing. Where are you at, by the way? Because I want to move there.
I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Ooh, okay, that's pretty close to Charlotte. Charlotte's where I got my eye on.
Oh yeah. I played in, I think actually my first over the board tournament technically was the Charlottesville Open, which is in Virginia, like with UBA and stuff.
Okay.
Sometimes people think I mean Charlotte, North Carolina. But for that I only did the Blitz because I had to go on like a business trip or something, so I couldn't actually do the classical. But then my first classical tournament was the Charlotte Open last year.
Okay.
That was really
Was that at the Charlotte Chess Center?
No, it was actually at a ho I mean it was like run by them, but it wasn't
Okay.
actually at the Charlotte Chess Center. It was at just like a random hotel.
That's cool. That's
Yeah, it
kind
was
of fun.
fun.
Okay. So we'll get to your first tournament in a moment because that's always exciting and fun. Okay, so this it's so your secret is you play a million hours a week, which is
I
great.
do. The secret is just get addicted. I would also recommend just like, and I think it's easier for me to just accept the losses a little more. It's been getting harder now that I'm getting better, but like, I feel like I've seen so many people who have come to my club recently and they're like around the level that I was at when I first came. And then they just get frustrated because they lose too much and you don't see them again.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think the fact that I'm like so new kind of helped me be like, be real with yourself. You're not gonna just instantly start beating people who've been playing for 30 years. That would be literally ridiculous. Like the real world is not Queen's Gambit. So I think just like being patient and like not taking the losses too personally is like the b best way to like just play and get beat up. That's what I always say. Just get beat up for like, I think for me, I got beat up for like 6 months before I started winning. And now here we are.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. When I'm new to something, just giving myself that grace to be bad and to lose a lot. I think it's a good idea. I just picked up pickleball recently, and
Really?
I've been having a ton of fun with it. The people around me, not as much because I'm a tennis player. So I hit these brilliant shots and then hit like four horrible shots in a row. And they're like, I don't understand you. Like, either be bad or be good. Don't be this, like, both at the same time. So it can be very frustrating for all. Oh, well.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm like playing chess though. Like I remember, so I think you saw, I just beat like one of our best players in the club recently, and then immediately after this dude's like watching me play some other game and I just like disintegrate, and he's like, how have you beaten our best player and then you play like this? Like he's like, how am I losing to you right now? And I'm like, you know,
Well.
I like to keep people on their toes.
Yes, that sounds great. Okay, real quick, returning to openings. Have you spent any time on openings, or are you just kind of like, I play by opening principles? Do you have a repertoire? Let's start there.
Like a soft repertoire. So like I have my openings that I play. I will be honest though, I have a friend in the club and he goes, hey Hannah, I think you should play this opening because it seems like something that would fit you. And I go, okay, I'm not going to look into any other options. I'm just going to do what you say because I don't really feel like studying openings right now.
That's
So
amazing.
like, yeah. So like at first I was playing the Smith Mora and the Danish and that kind of thing, but then I'm not like the most aggressive player. I'm trying to be better and like more aggressive, but I'm not, at least at that time, I was like super not aggressive. So then he was like, okay, so that's not working because you're not doing any of the traps.
Right.
So we're gonna switch you. So now I play the Nimzo Larson,
Ooh, okay.
which has actually been working out really well for me, just because it's just like all the different lines just really stick in my memory in a way where other openings have not. I don't really know why, but
Nice.
those have been going better because it's just me waiting for the other person to blunder first, and more often than not, but a lot of the time they will.
Yeah.
And then there you go. And then as black, I've been playing E6, B6, and then also, what's the other one? The Scandinavian.
Okay. Scandinavian and E6, B6. Interesting. I feel like my journey with the Caro Kann matches what you were talking about with the Nimzo Larsen, where it's like when I was like 15, 50, I would play the Caro Kann and just kind of develop my pieces and be like, okay, you're going to push too hard and lose, right? And they're like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, cool. I look forward to
Yeah. And luckily, and it's kind of, I
that.
have more success with the Larsen online
Mm.
because at least at my level, people will forget about my bishop and I get their rook. Like that happens to me a lot. It doesn't really happen in the club just because that's like the only thing I play and everyone knows I play it. And so they all know what I'm going for. And so I don't really get people's rooks that often in the club anymore, but I do get it online a lot.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's cool. That
But
sounds
then
like a
I
lot of
still,
fun.
I recently started playing this opening, so there's still a lot of the time where like he'll like miss that I can take their rook. So that's annoying because it's the whole point in playing that opening.
Yeah. That's funny. You're like, no. I want this game to go longer. If I take the rookie, you might resign.
Gotta keep it interesting.
Exactly. Okay. Well, let's talk about your tournament then. You said, I guess we should start with the first term, the Blitz one, just because I'm curious, like, what was it like at your first tournament? Were you eager to go? Were you like, I'm not ready? I think people who are new to tournaments really struggle with this of like, when should I go to my first tournament?
Yeah, and I know because I know there have been so many people where they've played for like 3 years before even going to a tournament. And I'm like, wow, because I mean, I hadn't even been playing for a full year by the time I went to my first one. And I didn't do, I actually was overconfident, if anything, because I was like, this is Blitz Club. I play Blitz every day. I'm just gonna like flag all these people and it's gonna be great. And then I just, for whatever reason, I guess naivety, just underestimated how good everyone else was gonna be. And so I don't even know if I won a single game. Like I really don't remember. I probably didn't. And then I also we did like a club field trip kind of, because this is like an hour away from Richmond. And so like everyone in the club, like we all went, and not everyone played in the Blitz, but most people did. And I just kept getting paired with people in the club.
That's the
So yeah, so I was getting paired with all these people I already knew were better than me, and they already know what I play, and like, so that happened a lot too, but it's okay.
Okay. So you go to your first big classical tournament. I guess my first question about it is, had you even played a classical game before this?
No, and this was
Oh.
actually really impulsive, because I have this friend Corey on Twitter. Shout out Corey if you're listening. And he like tweeted me or something. He was like, "Hey, I see you're going to be in North Carolina for work," because I used to work somewhere that was based in North Carolina, so I'd have to like go up there. And he was like, "Well, Charlotte Open is like the same weekend. You should just come on down." And this was like a week and a half before the tournament or
Oh,
something,
wow.
very last minute. And so I was like, you know what? Let me look on Airbnb. I found a cheap one. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm playing in this chess tournament now. So I didn't really prepare for it at all. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of more just for funsies. I kind of saw it as like, this is like a chess convention. I can like meet all these people. I knew like a bunch of people from Twitter were going to be there. And I was like, oh my God, I can meet all these people. It'll be really fun. And I think every single day, because this was 3 days, every single day, no matter what color I was, I won the first game of the day, and then I lost the second game of the day, which, like, never played classical chess before, kind of not that surprising.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I keep doing this thing where I'll like when I was unrated, and I really regret doing this in hindsight, but instead of playing in the open, I was a little chicken and I played in the under 1,000, even though everyone was like, don't do that, just play in the open because your rating will be higher and all this stuff. You'll play better players. But I was like, no, I want to try and win some money. But
Yeah.
then those are the scariest sections though, because everyone's just like underrated in that section. And so I was getting beat up by these 600s who were actually like 1700s and they just haven't played over the board. And I was like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. And now I'm still kind of stuck in those sections because it's like a vicious cycle. Like I played in the Maryland Open. I played this one dude who was unrated, and then afterwards he was like, yeah, I'm 2000 Lee Chess though, so don't feel that bad. And I was like, get my section right now.
Yeah,
So,
I have a
yeah.
really interesting problem. I'm going to Vegas on Thursday to play in the National Open, and my
Yeah.
rating has dropped to 1699. And so I could now technically change to the under 1700 section and be the number one seed. And I'm currently in the under 2100 section, and I'm really torn. Like, do I go for the money that I won't win because there'll be five people 500 points underrated, or do I just play in the under 2100 section? So it's tough. It's tough to
Yeah,
do.
that's tough.
I don't know. I think
I
I'm
think
just
at
gonna
this point,
play big one.
yeah, I think I've accepted that most people are underrated. And I remember when we went to the Charlottesville one for the Blitz one, there is this one dude in our club who's like in like the top 10, but he's in like the top-ish group of people, you know? Like he's better than like most people at the club. But he was rated 900. And we were like, and that was just because he doesn't play over the board. And so that's just when it clicked, like, oh, over the board rating is like a lie. Like, it's just so, I mean, not all the time, but like a lot of the time, you get these 900s who are not at all a 900. And it's just like, oh, it's a whole thing.
Especially the kids. Like, there's this kid at my club. He's now finally gotten to where he should be. He's in the mid 1700s. But the first time I played him, he was like 1250. And
Yeah.
I was about 1700. And I'm playing and I'm like, this dude is not 1250. First of all, he never
Yeah.
blunders anything. Second of all, he has a deep understanding of chess. Like, I had to narrowly beat him only because he made all of his moves in about 5 seconds each. We ended the
Yeah.
game. It was a game 55. I ended with 5 minutes. He had like 50 minutes on his clock. And I was like, if you'd spent 5 more minutes in this game, I think you would have beaten me. So yeah, it can be really challenging, we'll say, to have your rating go up when you're playing people who are underrated a lot.
Yeah, it's been, I think over the board, depending on what it is. So I've also played in rapid tournaments that I've played in a lot of rapid tournaments. I should have said that earlier, but those, it's like, I feel like sometimes, like the first time I played in a rapid tournament, they like used my blitz rating. And I was like, I didn't think you could use my blitz rating, but I guess you can. And then they just use all, I don't understand how it all works, but yeah.
Interesting. So you played your first classical tournament. How'd you end up doing? About 500 then?
Wait, sorry, what'd you
Did you
say?
go like 2-2, 3-3, something like that?
I think it was 3 out of 6.
Okay, so 3 wins, 3 losses.
Yeah.
Okay. And how'd you feel about that? Like, to me, that feels pretty darn good for first classical tournament, never playing classical chess before.
Pretty good. I was at the time, I still hadn't quite it's like understood the whole rating thing because I was like, I think I was in like under 1100 or something. It was either under 1000 or under 1100. I think it was under 1100 though. And so I was like, oh, under 1100, like I'm gonna walk right through this. I'm gonna come in like third and it'll be no problem because everyone tells me I'm so underrated. But then it didn't occur to me how many other underrated people were gonna be there. And I kind of compare chess tournaments to test taking, honestly, just because I do really bad under like pressure and stuff. And so I was always a terrible test taker. And I've noticed that I'm like a terrible tournament player because I just get so in my head and it's like so much pressure. And especially when I'm doing well, it's like more pressure because I'm like, well, I haven't lost the game yet, so like I have to one either. And it's just like the
Uh-huh.
better I'm doing, the more likely it is that I'm gonna mess up because I'm overthinking it. So I was like medium satisfied with how I did, I
Okay.
would say.
So you were hoping to be more successful, but it wasn't a disaster results wise. So you were medium satisfied. Okay.
Yeah, and I still had a lot of fun. I met a lot of people. It was I felt like a celebrity. There were like a few people who came up to me. They're like, "Hey, I think I follow you on Twitter." And I was like, "Oh
Nice.
my God." So
Yeah, that
it was
is
nice
fun.
because like I went there by myself. And so I was like, "Oh, I'm just going to be like the weirdo here by myself." But then I met a bunch of people and like hung out with a bunch of people. And so that was really fun. There was also a nighttime blitz tournament, and once again, I thought I was gonna do really well, but there was like 3 hours to kill, and I wasn't staying at that hotel. I was like staying at an Airbnb nearby, so I didn't want to leave. And so I just like sat at the bar and got drunk because I was bored, and I did terrible in the blitz tournament because obviously, like, what?
That's
So, yeah.
funny. Yeah, that's one of the hardest parts of tournaments is kind of like navigating the time and what do? Do you stay at the hotel so you can like rest between rounds? You hang out with people you want to hang out with? You grab drinks? Like, I find
Yeah.
those to be really challenging parts of like the kind of like the sporting element side of chess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of that, my family and friends make fun of me. So like I go to Vegas like once a year for these big tournaments and they're always like, "Oh, what do you do in Vegas?" And I'm like, "I'll tell you what I do. I play chess and then I go to my hotel room and rest for the next round." And they're like, "What? That's not how you're supposed to go to Vegas."
I play chess and then I go to my hotel and I analyze my games alone. And then I go to bed at 9:30 p.m. because I have to be back there at like 8 a.m. or whatever it is.
Exactly. No one is jealous of my trips to Vegas. Oh well. Yeah, so I
I
guess this is a quick shout out. If you're going to be in Vegas for the National Open, say hi. Not many people do, so I will be happy to say hi to you. So yeah. All right, go ahead, Hannah. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was. Oh, I was just saying, I'm jealous of you playing in the National Open. I actually thought about going to, I think it's, is it the World Open, the one in Philly?
Yeah, that one's really fun.
Yeah, I thought about going to that one, but then I was kind of like potentially transitioning to a new job, and I didn't know like money stuff, so I didn't end up doing the hotel or anything. And I think it's kind of close to the Charlottesville Open as well, but I do want to go to Philly eventually because I think that would be really cool.
If nothing else, you should go because there are so many chess punks there. I met like 10 chess punks at the World Open. It was the most fun I've ever had at a
Really?
chess tournament. It was amazing. Yeah, I would highly recommend it. Yeah, super
Okay,
fun.
good to know.
Do you have any big tournaments on the calendar?
Yeah, so I'm going to the Charlottesville Open again, which is in July. And that one I'm actually going to play in everything this time. I'm going to do the classical and the Blitz one probably. I'm a little nervous for it because I played in the Maryland Open and it did not go well for me, so I'm like a little scared, I'm not gonna
Uh-oh.
lie.
Uh-oh. What happened at the Maryland Open?
I just kept getting paired with so many underrated people. Like there was another dude I got paired with and he was like, "Yeah, I'm like 1500 chess.com," which at the time I was only like 11 or 1200 on chess.com, which is like, but I was in the under 1200 section. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a wash. This is going to be so easy. It'll be fine. And then that was the same one where I played that 2000 Lee Chess dude. One of the other dudes I played ended up coming in like second place overall. Like I just got paired with all these really hard people. And then just for me, it's one of those things where when I start doing bad, I'll just be like, oh, you're stupid. You can't play chess. You should just stop trying and just go back to doing normal things. Like, I just get so, the mindset is not always great. I'm not gonna lie. And so I think it was like 1.5 out of 5. It was like my worst tournament to date. So, yeah.
It's so hard. Like, once you start losing, it's so hard not to have those thoughts creep in. Like, I get the thing of like, So you left your family for the weekend for this? Really? Really? Your children were abandoned so you could win no games? Well done.
Well, and I have like this was like at a time where I was feeling really motivated and studying and I was improving a lot and I was feeling really confident. I was like, this is gonna be the one. I'm finally gonna win some money. Let's go. I'm ready to actually get my rating in the four digits. I mean, my Lord. Woo. But didn't happen. I'm pretty sure my rating it went down because I didn't play anyone that was lower rated than me, but yeah. It was, and I told my parents, and my parents are like, "Oh my God, how are you doing in these chess tournaments?" And I was like, "I lost so many games. Don't even worry about it."
Yeah, the last big tournament I went to, I started 0-3, and I was in, I was playing up, so they were all better than me, but still, it's hard. But this is what I told myself, Hannah. I was like, okay, this person I'm about to play today is having the worst tournament of their life. They're also 0-3. So all I
Yeah,
have to
that's
do
true.
is hold it together slightly better than them, and I have a chance to win. And we drew because we both couldn't hold it together.
Funny.
All right, that's what I'm working on that though. It's like keeping the mindset positive. This is my big line that I keep lying to myself with, Hannah. I tell myself it's true that the tournaments are not the exams. They are just another step in the journey, right? And it relieves the pressure of having to feel like this is my moment to show the world that I'm better than my number says I am. So that's what I tell myself.
Yeah, I try to, for me, I try to be like, okay, like remember that dude in the club who's a 900? You know he's not a 900, so like don't put that much value. Because for me, I was like, oh, well, I thought I was approaching 1300 on chess.com, but I'm actually still at 800. It's like, no, just make the numbers matter less. I think that's also why I don't like playing online as much, because when the number starts going down, it just makes me really mad. But over the board, there's no number to go down, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's so amazing because every game I play, there's a number attached to it. I would love to just go play chess to play chess. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I do. I will say, and this was also something that my friend Spencer inspired me to do. I have a notes app in my phone, and I
Ooh.
do keep track of like the win-loss ratio, mostly just for my own like improvement reference. It's a really just like so like a bunch of these people I used to lose every single game to, and now I can pull up my notes app and be like, well, I'm actually like 15-11 against them, and I used to lose
Oh,
every game to them. So like
nice.
you're still making moves even if you're still losing a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You let them know too. You're like, hey, Jim, just so you know, I've won
No,
15 of the last
no.
26 games.
I mean, I guess they're all gonna know now because I know some of them follow your podcast, I think. But no, mostly my friend Spencer's the only one who knows about it because some of them, they would not be happy if they, I don't think they would want to know either. And
Exactly.
sometimes they'll kind of like trash talk me and be like, oh, like, you know, you're still up on you. And it's so tempting to just pull out the notes app and be like, actually, I'm up on you because I'm a crazy person. I've been keeping track.
Yes. And all the people that you know who are listening to the podcast are like, no, that's the other guy. That's not me. I'm still up. I'm still up. I'm fine. I'm good. All right, Hannah. Well, do you have any short-term or long-term goals in chess? Or are you just trying to have fun getting better? What are your thoughts? What are you hoping to do with this?
Definitely. I have some end of the year goals. My end of the year goal at first was to hit 1400 on chess.com, but I actually think that's probably going to happen like pretty soon because I'm like, I think I'm like 1320 or something. I'd like to think it's not going to take me until December to get to 1400. I guess we'll see. But I think I've bumped up my goal to be 1500 by the end of the year, which is like a little ambitious, but might as well have an ambitious goal.
Might as
And
well.
then I want to get my over the board rating up to like 1,000 just to not.
Four
I just
digits.
want to be high enough to where there's no Like, I keep trying to play in the open, and they're like, oh, you have to be 1100, you have to be 1200. Like, I want to be high
Oh.
enough to where I can actually play in the open, and no one's going to be like, no, you suck, you can't play in the
Those tournaments are so annoying. Oh my goodness.
Oh, it happens so much. So I'm just stuck in this like little, like low rated group of people who aren't allowed to play in the open. And it's like,
Yeah.
oh, I don't know. But I think other than that, a lot of it's just like about growing my club, honestly. Like, we're doing another, I think we're gonna try and do two rapid tournaments this year. And just getting more people to the club in general, which it has been growing a lot. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, it
But
sounds like you've found an amazing club, an amazing group of supportive players that have helped enable you to play all the chess you can imagine. I'm very jealous of your life. If you want to do one of those Freaky Friday things for a few weeks, let me know. I think it'd be fun.
it's kind of funny. I think they're kind of getting over the hump now, but there was a little period where they would get really salty when I would beat them. And I think it was just like when I first came into the club, it took months before I even got one game off of them. And now some nights I'll go even if not winning more. And I think at first they were just like, God, how are you already beating me? But I've been like, you guys, like, you created this monster. You're the
Yeah.
reason that I'm beating you now. So if anything, it just means you're a good teacher. So don't get frustrated.
What a great line. What a great line. Also, I'm just better than you now, so accept it.
Also, just stop being bad at chess and then maybe you won't lose.
That's such a great mantra. You should get that put on a shirt. And whenever you beat someone, you give it to them. Here you go.
I'm obviously kidding, but yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, it sounds like you've had a great journey so far. And it sounds like a really fun one. It sounds like you've worked really hard, but you've also done it in a really fun way, doing what you like to do to get better, playing a lot over the board, which sounds amazing to me. Like, I barely get to play over the board. I'm so jealous. Even my 8-year-old won't play me. She did this weekend, though. I was struggling in some time trouble, and she goes, "Dad, maybe we should play another game where I get 55 minutes and you get 10 seconds with a 5-second delay." And I was like, "I'll play you with any time odds. Literally anything I'll do." So I think we're gonna play
Fun
another one.
though.
Yeah, those
Yeah,
are
that's
fun
something
ones.
that I like. That's something that I, because I'll see a lot of people online, they'll be like, oh, I'm too scared to come to my club because I don't know if I'm good enough. And I always tell them, like, I went after 3 months, so you're probably better than I was. And I just see a lot of people who just don't even have like a chess club near them. And I'm like, God, like, at this point, like when I go on my vacations, I like specifically look up, do they have a chess club? And I literally won't go. They don't have an active enough chess club. That's why I got into going to Baltimore all the time because I saw they have this chess club and I met a bunch of cool people. So I was like,
That's cool.
Baltimore's the vacation destination now because they have dope chess club.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we are planning a family vacation to New York. And I'm like, that's
Oh, that'll be
cool,
fun.
but I'm going to the Marshall Chess Club at least once, if not several times. And my wife was like, "Why do you have to ruin everything with chess?" And I was like, "You do whatever you want. Me and the 8-year-old, we'll go and we'll have a great time." So hopefully it'll be
That's on
fun.
my to-do list as well. Go, because I haven't been to New York since I started playing chess. So I would love to go and play some chess in the park there. That would be
Oh, yeah.
sick.
Yeah, those are my two goals. Play chess in the park, go to the Marshall Chess Club. And then if there's anything else cool to do in New York, maybe there is. I don't know. I haven't heard of anything else in that city other than those two things. So we'll see. We'll see what's there. All right, Hannah. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I think my biggest takeaway is this. If you're listening, and you're a newer player and you're low rated and you're like, I wish I could meet some people that play chess. Take Hannah's advice. Go to the chess club. It is very unlikely that they're going to be jerks. Chess players seem to have changed in the last 20 years since I went to chess clubs 20 years ago, where they were kind of jerks, to today, where people are like, oh, new people. We actually applaud the new members in our club each week. The guy running it'll be like, here's Jim, he's new. And we all stand up and give them a standing ovation for coming to the club. People will be happy to see you, and people won't be jerks to you. And if there's the one person who is a jerk, just move away from them. They're just annoying. There's jerks out there. All right, Hannah, where can people get a hold of you if they want to follow up and ask you questions? Because I think they will.
Okay, so my Twitter handle is Chess Ho, but Ho is spelled with a 3 instead of an E. So you can come talk to me on there. That's pretty much all the social media I have. Yeah.
Is this because you're really into farming?
This was a whole other, we have like a chess club Discord, and it was like an inside joke in my Discord where everyone had that as their name for a little bit, and then I just made it my Twitter name, and then there are like actually people who follow me on there now, and I'm like, well, it's too late to change it. Oh well, I have a hoodie with it on it, I can't change it.
Okay, this is good. All right, well, there we go. You can follow Hannah on Twitter. You should follow her. She has a very interesting Twitter. I believe I follow you. If not, I see you regularly from so many people retweeting you because you have such an interesting I don't know, what's it called? Presence? Yeah, presence there. All right. Well, hopefully this will be the week where all of you reach your new rating highs and your goals for the year. But if you're like me and you continue losing every single game over the board and reach your all-time lowest rating, remember, it's bound to turn around. I think maybe next week I'll come back from the National Open and be like, my new rating is 800 again. I don't know. We'll see. I'll see you next time, everybody. Goodbye.